morning, family of God. The gospel reading this morning is taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 through to 17.
Praise and glory to God.
Amen. If his eye is on the sparrow, we know that he watches us. This beautiful passage from John is where Jesus talks about, in the natural, for a start off, the grapevine, which is fruiting fabulously at this time of the year. But he says he is not the natural grapevine, he is the perfect spiritual vine. And through him flows a unique love, which we as Christians have, coming from the Spirit of Christ. And so he says to us that when we came to him, we were like little buds on a branch, and then the buds grew into a branch, and we bear good fruit that speaks about Jesus to others. So here he talks about this unique love that you and I have. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So continue on in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may become full. This is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. From this time on, I'm not calling you servants anymore, for a servant doesn't actually know what his Lord is doing. But I call you friends, because all the things that my Father has spoken to me and told me, I am making them known to you. He didn't choose me, I chose you. And I ordained that you would go and bring forth fruit. And that fruit is going to remain. And also, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you do love one another. Now, if the world hates you, you know that it actually hated me before it hated you. If you were still worldly, the world would really love you. But because you are no longer worldly, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Praise and glory to God.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the other day I was thinking about these readings and thought what I could say about them. And at the time, I was folding clothes at home. But as I was thinking about the readings, about loving each other, and my exalted thoughts were somewhat disturbed by shouts coming from the bathroom nearby. Because a little before that, I had put my two little sons together in the bathtub in the hope that they would enjoy the warm water on a cold night and become clean in the process. It might also allow me some peace and quiet as they would play amicably in the bathtub. However, as you can imagine, the plan did not come quite to pass as I had imagined. After I hurried to the bathroom, I soon heard the loud complaints that one of the boys had stretched out more in the bathtub than the other was comfortable with, and therefore had impeded the other's enjoyment of the bath. The boy that felt somewhat constricted had gently pushed the other. Then the first boy had turned around and accidentally hit the other, so that it hurt even, and now the screaming and splashing was in full swing. I successfully calmed them down, but tensions were still high as I left to fold a few more clothes. This time I listened more closely, and soon I could hear the next conflict arising. I had to return to the bathroom to keep peace in the bathtub, and then asked my wife whether she could wash the boys' hair so that at least the objective of getting them clean could be achieved that night. Well, a little later, the two boys were playing happily in the lounge and protesting loudly when I suggested that it was bedtime. After all, they enjoyed each other's company, and playing with your brother is far more interesting than going to bed. As I thought about it, I wondered whether the little path, whether that bathtub incident could maybe also teach us about love and respect among Christians. After all, with common goals and a shared love for our Heavenly Father, life together with other Christians is far more interesting and reassuring than life alone. These are our Christian brothers and sisters. But there are also times when we get too close, when we hurt each other, when we tread on each other's toes. There are times when we'd rather not share the same space. It is difficult to love our fellow Christians at times. Jesus' command to love each other is not easy. If it were easy, Jesus probably would not have put such emphasis on it. And yet, it is not impossible. Jesus says that we should love each other as he, Jesus, has loved us. Now, some might say that this is setting an unrealistically high bar. But following the example of Jesus gives us direction and purpose. This is not just a vague notion of love. It is love that has been lived out for us. The greatest example of Jesus' love is the self-giving sacrifice on the cross for humanity. Jesus calls those who follow him his friends. He says what he has done, laying down his life for his friends, is the greatest expression of love. And because God has loved us so much, we not only ought to love each other, but we also are able to love each other. For if we ourselves are greatly loved, if we are close to Jesus, if we have experienced God's love, we ourselves can love more fully. But what does that love look like in action in a church setting? Well, maybe we should have an example. And Paul exactly gives us an example in his letter to the Corinthians about what love means in the Christian church. Now, I know we wouldn't exactly strike that issue in modern society today. We normally don't sacrifice meat to idols. But there are issues in our parish today that may be comparable. So, first of all, let's look at the issue that Paul was addressing. So, in Corinth, there were many temples to the pagan gods in which animals were sacrificed to these pagan gods. The meat of these animals was then consumed by people participating in rituals to these gods. The meat was also available for sale, so when the local Corinthians wanted to buy a nice steak at a reasonable price, they would go to one of the temples. Clearly, it's inconsistent with the Christian faith to sacrifice to these idols. Christians belong to Jesus and should not, in any sense, feel any trust or sentiment towards these idols. And so in Corinth, some Christians therefore said that they should keep away as far as possible from these temples and not have anything to do with them. If those Christians had converted from worship to these idols to faith in Christ, it was even more important to put a clear separation between the old life of idolatry and the new life in Jesus Christ. Well, there were other people in the church in Corinth, and they argued that it was all right to buy these good portions of meat. After all, they knew that these idols were nothing and that there is only one God. These Christians did not participate in any ritual, and buying the meat did not mean anything to them. It was just a good place to get some nice cuts of meat. So why should they avoid buying that nice meat? And so an argument had broken out in the church in Corinth about whether it was allowed to buy meat that had been sacrificed to idols in the temples. And the Corinthians brought that dispute to Paul. And so Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians, and he responds to the questions by the Corinthians. And in a sense, he agrees with the second argument. He says, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there's no God but one. Even if there are so-called gods, for us there's but one God, the Father and one Lord, Jesus Christ. So just from that consideration, it would be all right to eat food that was sacrificed to idols. But that is where love comes in. Not everyone in the church can understand that the idols were really non-entities. Some of the Christians, when they ate the meat, somehow felt as if they were participating in the rituals, in the worship given to that idol. That was especially the case if such people had previously participated in those rituals themselves, and if it was hard for them to move to faith in Jesus Christ. For them, it was clear that they should not touch meat offered to idols, but even more than that, it's important that the strong, so to say, should not eat meat offered to idols, because through that, they may lead their fellow Christians astray. So that is what love does. At times, we need to modify our own actions to help others. So the question then is, what would that look like in our parishes today? And that might be where it gets a bit complicated. Anyway, there are two very simple examples around communion, for example. We certainly should not expect an alcoholic to drink wine or a celiac to eat wheat bread, even if the Pope thinks that's how communion should be had. As Anglicans, we also accept a variety of theological positions around communion. Overall, it's more important to be part of communion, to come to the table, than having the theology absolutely right. What else might we need to sacrifice in order to love our fellow Christians? There are some minor things that nevertheless mean a lot to people, like insisting on our favorite liturgy, or our claim to our pew, or where the piano is situated, or what color the pew cushion should be. Well, these are all minor things, and clearly in love they should not be regarded as major. But at times there may be more important matters, such as church governance or even ethics. So what should a Christian do and what should a Christian not do? Or our theology. Love tells us that it's not always best to be right, but to consider how our words and actions will affect others. That also means, for example, that in church we need to enable people to be heard out, even if what they are saying is quite wrong. And from there, then, we can begin correction and teaching when appropriate. Sometimes love also means that we might need to sacrifice our need for recognition. After all, you can get a lot done if you don't mind who gets the credit. Love, however, does not always mean yielding or giving in, because the most important thing about love is that we want the best for each other, and we certainly do not want to lead someone into sin or temptation. If we never teach, never correct, then that might not be loving either. However, there's a question of how that should be done. It needs to be done with kindness and gentleness as far as possible. Most importantly, though, love is about encouraging each other and supporting each other, sharing our joys and carrying each other's burdens. It is talking about our fears, our hopes, our struggles, our little successes. It is about wanting the best for each other. Jesus loved us, took our burdens upon himself, so that we are free to love others and are able to see the burden that others are carrying and help them in that. We can all do that in some little measure in response to God's love and with God's help through the Holy Spirit. Amen.